This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Toledos. And, of course, we continue and study Torah this week as sponsored in our shul, Le'ilui Nishmas, Yaakov Zev ben Avraham Nachman. And we begin the Parsha with the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka and their difficulty having children. Well, eventually, Yitzchak davens for her, and she becomes pregnant. And the Torah tells us, that the children rumbled inside of her. And so Chazal tell us that when Yaakov was in Rivka's womb, he tried to escape every single time Rivka passed the Beis Medrash. Now, why would he want to escape when he was learning with a Malach who was teaching him Torah for his entire time inside? Why run away from Shir? That doesn't sound tzaddik-like. So Rav Shimon Sofer explained that you can have the best teacher in the world, but if a person sitting next to you is a bad fit, it's difficult to learn, and you might need to get out. You know, they tell such a story about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who was learning in the Slabodka Yeshiva, and because his older chavrusa was a negative influence on him, he left Slabodka for a year to go branching out to an offshoot of the yeshiva, and he missed the opportunity to meet Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the famous Grach, and he held it against this fellow, who also had gotten him hooked on smoking. So we have to be careful sometime about the influences around us. But yeah, Yitzchak es Esav kitzayit befiv. We're told that the children are born and they grow up. And Yitzchak loved Esav because he was a hunter in his words. Now, Rav Dessler, the author of the Michta Melio, writes that Esav was an impressive spiritual leader. Esav was the founder of the school of hypocrites that remains with us until today. After all, it was Esav's innovation to violate every commandment and yet appear to all the world as an honorable man, untouched by scandal. And this so-called gentleman is a complete lie, and everything he does is meant to promote and protect his inauthentic life of lies. The great news columnist Sivan Rahab Meir adds that we hear so much about such honorable and appealing yet fake people until today. And it's for this reason that our parsha comes along to remind us to check if the individual we see in front of us is all that he or she appears to be. We need to examine him or her to see what might be beneath his or her personal charm and charisma, and not be blinded by external experiences and appearances. Yitzchak Esav is a tzayit befiv. We have to be careful about that situation. So Esav comes home one day and he says, "Halitani namin ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. I want you to go ahead and give me from this red stuff." And Chazal tells us that the Nazir HaDashim was a meal of Avelos. And the Beis Halevi explains that the reason that Esav referred to the lentil soup as this red stuff, ha'adom ha'adom hazeh, is because he didn't want it to make it seem like he was as callous as he really was to the mourning that was going on for the loss of his grandfather. So Esav made it look like he had no idea what the food was in front of him, so as not to be susceptible to the claim, everyone else is in Avelos and all you can think about is food. However, this ruse couldn't last for long. He knew that as soon as he would take the first soupful, he would taste the lentils and realize that this was a mourner's meal, and his game would be up. So instead of giving up and acceding to the requirement to join the family in mourning, he simply thought up another layer of seemingly self-deception by asking Yaakov to pour it down his throat so he get it all at once and never need to look like he knew what he was eating and what the symbolism behind it was. Now, based on this Beis Halevi, what was going on here was layer upon layer of self-deception, all in order to find some way to ignore the unpleasant parts of life. And there's a famous adage, "Ignorance is bliss." Yet we're taught, Yosif Das, Yosif Machov. Sometimes when you add knowledge, it's painful. Esav made a choice. He picked the bliss of ignorance over the pain of knowledge, so he was able to say, "It's not my problem." Now, Yitzchak Avinu has to go through the process of digging out the wells in the area of the Plishtim. And when he does, Vayikra lahem Shemos Kashemos Asher Kara lahem Aviv, he calls these places the names that his father called them. Why does it say it's Kashemos, like the names, not the actual names? And perhaps the answer is that this is a story of legacy, that he continued digging the wells as a continuation of Avram Avinu's legacy. However, the Torah says it was Kashemos because it was a different time. Rav Shechter Shalita always points out to us that the Masorah always stays the same, but it needs to be applied differently in every generation. We don't ask what Moshe Rabbeinu did, but what will Moshe Rabbeinu do now? And that's our job now, to turn around and figure out now. And Yitzchak would apply the ideals of Avraham Avinu, but the trumpet sound of Yitzchak living in his current time. So, of course, after this whole process, Yitzchak realizes he's getting older, and he calls Esav in to tell him to go ahead and give him an excuse to give him a bracha. And Esav turns around, and he goes off, and Rivka and Yaakov pull off a ruse. And in their context of pulling off the ruse, Yaakov has to utter the following statement. Anochi Esav Bechorecha. I am Esav, your firstborn. And of course, in that context, Yaakov Avinu had to state an untruth. And this is a grave difficulty. And Rabbi Per, the Rosh Hashiva in Far Rockaway, suggested that Yaakov Avinu needed to utter this seeming falsehood in order to go to the biggest liar in his day, Lavan. And that, after all, that would be part of the Torah process in order to experience the Torah purification process. And why was that such a necessity? Why does Hashem force Yaakov Avinu to have to be in a situation of a falsehood so that he should have to turn out to be a person who experiences falsehood in the greatest degree and not succumb to it? The process, explains Rabbi Per, would be one that would help his children have a role model to look up to in the times of their greatest challenge. We're living with host countries in times of foreign exile. Sometimes we have to be in places, but we don't have to necessarily conform. And this, says Rabbi Per, was put into motion by Yaakov Avinu's requirement to have to state, Anochi Esav Bechorecha. We're also told that Yitzchak says to Yaakov, Gishana v'amushcha b'ni, hataze b'ni Esav imlo. Come close, if you please, so I can touch you, my son. Are you indeed Esav, my son, or not? Now, what prompted Yitzchak to sense something strange in the behavior of the person in front of him, suggesting that he wasn't Esav? So Rashi explains it's because Esav wasn't accustomed to using the name of Hashem. So why didn't Yaakov just drop the role and use the name of Hashem as well? Ki yikra Hashem lefanai. So don't say that. Try to play the role that you're supposed to be playing. Rabbi J.J. Schachter explained once that while we might at times adopt the dress of the nations of the world in order to be able to exist within their countries, one thing we can never change is that no matter how great our desire to achieve these blessings, we can never eliminate or even deny the name of Hashem, never at the expense of Shem Shamayim. We still, no matter where we are, no matter how we dress, we still have to have Shem Shamayim on our lips. We're told that in the bracha b'itein lecha Elokim ital Hashemayim mishmanei haaretz v'rov dagam b'tirosh, that Yaakov says Hashem should give you. Yitzchak says to Yaakov, Hashem should give you from the tal Hashemayim, the dew of the heavens, and the fat of the land. And Chazal already tell us that the dew of the heavens refers to mikra, the fat of the land refers to mishnah, and rov dagan b'tirosh, dagan refers to talmud, and tirosh, the wine, refers to agadata. Now at this point, Yitzchak thought he was giving a bracha to Esav. So why does he wind up giving him a bracha about Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, and Agadata? It's like giving him books that are going to sit on a shelf never to be opened. So the late great Rav Simcha Wasserman Zatzal explained that the Pasuk and the bracha refer also to material things, as the simple interpretation of the Pasuk clearly implies. However, the spiritual source of dew is Mikra, of the fat of the land is Mishnah, etc. Esav only wanted to understand this on a surface level. But Yaakov wanted the reason behind things, and he deserved the shorish as well. And we can look at this world on a very surface level, says Rabbi Wasserman, and we can understand and appreciate the tremendous spiritual value of the things behind what we see and gain even more from the world around us. Finally, in the Haftorah, we're told that Ben Yechaberav Eved Adonav, that a son will honor his father and a servant his master. That's what Malachi tells us in the end of days. Now, how did the pasuk begin with Kavod and end with Mora, right? And we know that a son has the obligation of Mora as well as Kavod. Servants do have the obligation actions of Kavod, but they do them as Yira. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal noted that there's a difference between Kibud and Kavod, right? The former is active. It references the activities that must be done, even if motivated by Yira. But Kvod, Ben Yechabed, that's a motivation. Kuchem Chayabim Bichvodi means that you have an obligation to show respect and honor towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because of a fear, right? But the idea has to come through because there's a reverence, and that sense of reverence is something that needs to be brought forward. We'll continue with the wonderful world of Parshas Toldos, so much to say, and we'll continue as we get excited with it as we move on. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos, and a Shabbat Shalom to all.